Everybody, so good to see you here. I'm thankful for the presence of God, and you're a fine looking bunch. I'll tell you, I appreciate your presence here, and I appreciate the power of God that's going to be here with us as well. Amen. I would like for us to have special prayer as we open with prayer, but I'd like for us to have a special prayer for all of those that are sick, but also our pastor had to be taken to the ER this morning about 2 o'clock. He's good. They told him it was probably just a stomach bug, but he is in good condition. He's doing better. He's just unable to be here with us this morning. So if you will help me, let's pray. Let's pray for him especially and all of the others that are sick for whatever reasons that the sickness is just overtaking us and overwhelming us, whatever all this is. I believe we can see victory over it. Amen. And we're going to pray for each other and pray for our pastor and the services today. Will you help me do that right now? Dear God, we are thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful, God, for the power and the virtue of heaven that comes down when we present our needs to you. I ask you, God, today for our pastor, touch his body, strengthen him. For all of these that are sick and unable to be here today, I ask you to touch their bodies, strengthen them, allow the power of your spirit to minister to them even as we speak right now. God, I ask for the services today that your anointing would rest upon us and allow the power of your spirit to be manifest in every aspect of the service. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. And everybody say amen. Amen. I'm so thankful to see you here today, and I appreciate your presence here and appreciate the word of God. I want to say something that Brother Alex did for me, and I appreciate it tremendously. He works right up there, and you don't see him a whole lot, but he works right up there in that production room. He had made some CDs of some lessons, and I want to tell him that I really do appreciate that. But he's also got some lessons on not just he's got all of our services online and got some hyperlinks to them. You can listen to them, and I appreciate that too. We ought to let him know we appreciate that. Amen? That's right. Let's give him a good hand clap. Amen. I appreciate it tremendously. I appreciate all of our production team. They do a great job, do they not? Amen. Every single one of them, and I appreciate all of that. The book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to just read again the verses that I began using for this series of lessons. And I will be honest with you. In my self of, I don't know, my self-desire, if you will, I wanted to take another Sunday and go with the lesson of the angel. I'm not going to. I'm going to go into the lesson of the witch this morning. So we're gonna learn a little bit about that one. I may come back later and do some more squeezing on this lesson of the angel. I'm not finished with it, but maybe I take it from a different perspective. But this morning, starting with Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, this is the basis of why there are things that are taught to us and preached to us is because of the wisdom of the word. Vanity of vanities, verse number 8, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. I could read more, but I'm going to, for time's sake this morning, stop right there. This series has been it's been very enlightening to myself. It may not have been of help to any one of you, but it has been a help to me tremendously. I have learned, and I have been convicted. I know that sometimes you think that the conviction is just to be coming from here to there, but let me tell you, it convicts me as well. And if I'm going to be transparent about it, it must convict me, or else it's not convicting to anyone else. So it has been convicting to me, and it's been a very beneficial factor of learning myself when God began to deal with me about this, or these items of study. The lesson of the witch, I'm going to just give some basis of it. We're going to look at some, I'm going to call them very infamous references in the scripture of different times that witches are mentioned. And then we're going to learn from why they're mentioned, how they're mentioned, and the details around some of those. One in the New Testament, we will find that there was one that followed around some of the apostles. Y'all remember that in the book of Acts. And she actually brought much gain to her handlers, or to those that had put her in service, by the way that she was connected with the underworld or the dark side of things. And she got the following around the apostles, and was telling, you get to listen to these men of God. And it became such a thorn to them. It became something that they became troubled with, and they just turned around and laid hands on her and cast that spirit out. And I know there's a lot to be said about those type situations and different things that come about. But let me just tell you, as we begin this lesson, spirits are real. Demonic possession is real. It is a real thing, and it does have power. I can assure you it does. I can also assure you that greater is he that is in you, that's what the scripture says, than he that is in the world. I grew up with parents that taught me how not to be afraid of demonic possessions. They taught me. They taught me by example. They taught me by how they conducted themselves. But they taught me by also how they were willing to confront it without hesitation. And I know that there's so many different ideas and thoughts about approaching these type situations. But let me approach it from this statement one more time. They are real. It is real. It does happen. I would never think that it's beneficial for us to be so, and I'm using air quotes here, super spiritual, that everything that is just not like us is all of a sudden demon-possessed. Some people are just flat out mean. They're not full of the devil. They're full of themselves. But some people are possessed, without question. Everybody that does not live for God in the capacity that others think they ought to is not possessed. It's just not that way. So we should never get so... The thing I think of, this is an old example, all right? This is not a new example. This is an old example. But if you've ever been around horses or mules, anybody ever been around a mule? And if you ever see a mule booger at a new gate, they'll throw their head. Mules are notorious for throwing their head. I've had some mules, all right? I had a saddling mule. I rode that thing, and I wanted one. And I'll tell you what I wanted it for is because I read in the Bible where David and all of his family, they rode mules. Well, if you've ever rode a mule and it's not a saddling mule, you'll know that they will beat you to death. They are the roughest ride. If you've ever ridden a horse, they are the roughest thing you ever got on. But if you get a good saddling mule, and I had one that was very good. I mean, he was steady as a rock and literally could go squirrel hunting on that thing. Y'all don't do that, do you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You could squirrel hunt off of his back, especially if you had a good dog that would get you squirrel, not eat it up and bring it back to you. You know, that was always good. But you could shoot right off of his back. He was steady as they come. But I will tell you this, he was a typical mule when you wanted to catch him. He could get around and throw your head up and booger at this and booger at that until you got him saddled, and then he wouldn't booger at anything. But there are lots of people that are believers that just booger at everything. They just, everything that is not like us doesn't mean it's possessed of the devil. There is something to understand that those spirits are real. But the way to have a better grasp of identifying is something that we learn in the New Testament that we should all pray for. It is called discernment. And it doesn't stop with just discernment. It says discerning of spirits. We need that. That is something that you should covet earnestly, the best gifts, it says. We need that in our lives to be able to identify when something is a disruptive, ungodly spirit or it's just a mean, personal spirit. We need to know the difference. New Testament, I made mention of the little lady that came around behind the apostles and was causing a disruption. Everywhere that she went, that she was advertising for them. And they didn't want that advertisement. So they got tired of it and they turned around and they cast that spirit out of her. I will tell you that I've come in very close proximity and confronted a lot in my short lifetime of different spirits. I do not take it lightly nor take it for granted that people have possessions. I remember this happening several years ago, and I'm going to give you a very condensed version of this, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament and learn something else from those spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to learn something from that. I was at a youth camp, and we had a whole group of youth that were, man, they were wound up. Y'all ever been to youth camp, you know, they get excited about a whole lot, and service was going on and it would get wound up and people were just all over the place. Just all these kids were just having a great time worshiping, and the front of the church was filled, or the little chapel was filled, all of this area up front, man, it was everybody. But it come time for preaching and they wouldn't slow down, and some of them were real, and some of them were not. And I'll never forget what happened and what took place that particular time. Some of them looked at me and said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "All right, let's go ahead and change the order of the service. Go ahead, we've got to preach." Well, we got the preaching going, and they didn't want to settle down, so we just preached right over it. Some of them didn't, I should say. Well, after the service, it's getting late. It's time for them to go get their snack and get to their rooms. We had a curfew. They need to get to their rooms at a particular time. Well, this one little group of individuals, they just wanted to shout and beat the walls and bang the floors and just holler and scream and yell. And we dismissed service, and they kept on. Some of them asked me, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Y'all go eat. I'll stay with them. Y'all go. Take off. Go." So got everybody out of the church or the little chapel, and I got up there in front of them and mixing and mingling with them, and I said, "Everybody else want to go eat. Y'all want to have church, don't you?" Oh, man, that stoked the fire right there, buddy. They got wound up. Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't know me by now, I tend to sneak up on you. And I did. I fed that for a few minutes, and I fed it, and I fed it, and I kept them all wound up, and man, they were just banging and rolling on the floor, screaming and hollering, and I just egged it on, just went with it. And I finally said, hey, guys, let's talk for a little bit. Y'all like church, don't you? Yeah, we like church. I said, let's have a little bit then. The rest of them, they're more interested in eating than they are church. Let's have some church. Come on. Let's talk for a few minutes. Let's just sit down and talk. Y'all getting tired. So I look at me. I don't look like a teenager, all right? This has been a few years ago, but I didn't have much more hair than I do now. But anyway, I got me a chair, and I kind of acted like I was kind of loose. Now, I'm not normally that way, all right? This is my normal self right here, all of the time. My wife has to tell me to loosen up a little bit, but this is the truth. I'm being honest. If I can't be transparent, then I don't need to be here, do I? But I grabbed me a chair, and I acted like I was all loose, and I turned that thing around backwards, and I squatted on that chair and sat down, straddle of the chair backwards, and leaned over the back of it, and I was coming off like I was trying to connect with them a little bit. Well, I was. I was connecting all right, because I had connected with God prior to that, and I'd already connected to that Spirit. For an hour, I gave them a Bible study. It was nothing but a disruptive spirit. It was a controlling spirit. It was not allowing the Word of God to go forth in a service that was designed to be of help to them. And they wanted that particular group wanted to control the whole entire service every single time. It was disruptive and controlling. Let me tell you what I gave them. I'm telling you this because this was a spirit that was not of God that I confronted. I said, let me tell you what happens. When you do not submit yourself to the leadership of God in a service, you're not of God. That put a stop for the rest of that youth camp. Now, they wanted to get really mad. No, a couple of them, two of them, out of the group started really, really getting upset and trying to cause a disruption with all of the rest of them. But the rest of them listened to me. About 3 months, I received a letter from one of the young ladies, and she said, I was really mad when you set us down, because I didn't think you understood us. But when I got home and I got to praying, I realized that you saved me from becoming a problem for the rest of my life. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. It's because discerning of spirits, understanding. The Bible tells us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. It doesn't mean that everything we don't understand is not of God. It means that we need to have discerning of spirits. Probably the most infamous witch lesson in the Old Testament is in the book of Samuel. You'll find that we know her as the witch of Endor. Now, Saul was the king at this time, and he has inquired of God. This is the latter part of his life. In fact, this is where he gets insight into his impending death, which is going to happen the next day. He finds out that he's going to die the next day. And he says to his people, he says, I want you to find me someone of a familiar spirit. Because I've inquired of God, and God hasn't answered me. He's departed, and he's not talking to me. So I need to find out what I ought to do. Do you know that when one of them came to him, the sad part about it was they knew the witch of Endor, and they were close to the king. The other sad part about it was he wanted a witch, and because he couldn't get in touch with God. One of them came to him and said, well, now we know one that has a familiar spirit. He disguised himself, and he goes to her, and he says, I would like to inquire of someone. Can you talk to the dead for me? Oh, you know how Saul is. He's killed all of the people that do that. And he said, oh, I'm by the Lord that lives. Now, this is really funny to me in one respect. As the Lord liveth, no harm shall come to you. He can't even find an answer from God, but he's assuring her by the Lord that she's not going to die. Well, in that case, I've been known to do that. And he says, well, I want you to, well, who do you want me to find? He said, I'll tell you when you make this agreement with me. And so she does, and he tells her, and when he does, she says, oh, you're Saul. You are definitely Saul. You're here to kill me. He said, oh, no. He assures her again, in the name of the Lord, that he's not going to harm her. And so she conjures up. She does her little inquiry and does her little seance, and she conjures up this spirit. And when she does, she becomes extremely afraid. And she starts distancing herself from this. You should read this story. It's pretty informative. And she says, this is not what I'm normally used to, and so to speak, in so many words. And he says, well, what did you see? She said, I saw an old man covered with the mantle. And the Bible says that Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And when he starts talking to the spirit that she's conjured up, it's definitely a word from God. Now, that's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it? You go to a witch to get a word, and when you get there, you find out it's actually a word from God. You know how you know that it's a word from God? Because it was truth. It was true. It was not a word from the underworld. It was not a word from a familiar spirit. God allowed this to show the reasons why Saul was going to die. He allowed this to happen in this way. And in fact, if you read the words of Samuel that were spoken during this connection of Samuel, he said, why have you disquieted me? Why have you bothered me? Our word for this was a necromancer, someone that speaks with the dead. Why have you disquieted me? You've messed with me, and I'm already passed on, but you have messed. He said, well, God wasn't speaking to me, and I needed a word. Do you know the sad part about it is, why was Saul having to go to a woman with a familiar spirit, or the witch of Endor, to feel like he was getting a word? Why? Samuel tells him why. In this connection right here, he tells him exactly why. He said, because you did not do what God commanded you with the Amalekites, he departed from you, and now you're having to go through a witch. And because you have sought one of a familiar spirit, you're going to die tomorrow. And your son's with you. So why was this such a bad thing for Saul to be in this predicament that he had put himself into? Why was this such a bad thing? It was a sad thing because Saul had found himself in his own mind that he was excusing his behavior of disobedience. This was not the first connection that Saul had with witchcraft. It's the first time we ever have connection. It's the only time that we ever have a description of him visiting a witch. But it was not the first time that he had encountered the spirit of witchcraft. God had given him a word early on in his kingship from Samuel. And he said, I remembered how the Amalekites met my people as they came out of Egypt. I want you, Saul, to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Get rid of them. Now, here brings us to another question. Why would God want a group of people utterly destroyed? Why? Why would he do that? Why would he have someone years and years and years later to go with a commission from him to utterly destroy this group of people? You see, this is what we learn when we start studying about the familiar spirits. It starts opening up all kinds and unfolding all kinds of different facets of activity as to why God says stay away from them. It leads us in all of these paths right here. And this is why right here. If you start reading and you go back to the book of Exodus and it talks about the Canaanites and the Amalekites that came against the children of Israel, and you read about that story, you know the story. And whether you realize it or not, you know the story. More than likely, you have read or heard somebody mention this story. They were in a battle, and Moses would raise his hands, and they would win. Children of Israel would win. But when he would get tired and his hands would get down, the enemies would win. Well, this was the Amalekites and the Canaanites. And so there happened to be two great men in this group that came and held up the hands of Joshua. Now this story right here are held up the hands of Moses, sorry, Joshua being one of them. And you know this part of the story, as long as those hands were raised, victory was to happen. So they got on each side and held a hand and propped them up and kept his hands raised until this battle was won. Now you know that story, right? But until you go into the book of Deuteronomy and hear how God describes what happened about this battle, how this battle came about, you will still be questioning why that God tells Saul to kill the Amalekites. Because all you have in the book of Samuel is this little bit of information, go and utterly destroy them. I know how they met you. This is how he met, how they met them. According to the book of Deuteronomy, and you read this little snippet of how God describes how they attacked, this is why you understand that God doesn't forget this. Because in Deuteronomy, it tells how the Amalekites came against them, and it says they came against them from the rear, from the backside. And they started attacking the vulnerable, the sick, the weak. the women and the children. You see, this is where that we find all of this starting to unfold now, and why God's had such an aversion to the Amalekites, because it wasn't just a group of people. It was an attitude and it was a spirit. And he said, I want them gone. Do you know what pure religion and undefiled is? The Bible tells us exactly what it is. Pure religion and undefiled is that you should visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's what the Bible says. The Amalekites found the weakest point of a group of people, and they started attacking the most vulnerable. Now, I'm going to make a little bit of a statement here, and I'm not going to capitalize on it, but I'm going to just tell us, be careful about kicking somebody when they're down. Be very careful, because God looks after the fatherless and the widows. And he says, I'm going to remember you. If you offend one of these little ones, he said, it'd be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Why is it that when somebody wants to attack the church, they want to get the most vulnerable? You see, that spirit is still around, isn't it? They want to point the finger at the most vulnerable. They want to take advantage. It is not. Listen, let me tell you something, all right? This is unfolding in more ways than I ever anticipated, all right? But you know what I've learned? I've learned that when God unfolds something, you just go with it. Let me tell you what's happening in our world right now. Let me tell you what's happening right now. Okay? I'm not an advocate of drug use. But let me tell you who becomes a part of drug use. The vulnerable. In fact, I have done a lot in my lifetime to get people off of drugs. I've had political or judicial systems that would assign people into my custody so I could get those people to rehab. As long as they would stay in rehab, they could have their time served during that time, and that would be accounted. Now, they had to answer to me on a consistent basis. I had to make sure they were following the rules and the guidelines and staying into those places and getting all cleaned up and coming out and living a better life. And it would be a part. I was not a probation officer, but I served in their points of life as that. And I had to answer to the courts for these people. So I understand they're very vulnerable people. They turn to drugs. People turn to drugs because of all kinds of hurt. They're very vulnerable. Do you know what we have in our political system right now? We have people that are giving out all types of free drug use paraphernalia. Instead of trying to help them, they're trying to aid and abet. You know what they're doing? They're attacking the vulnerable. Do you know the most unreported statistic in our world right now is children missing and children being trafficked? Do you know they're not telling us right now, but if you do a little bit of a research, you'll find this for yourself, that there is over 4 million children worldwide that go missing every year that are never found and never accounted for. You know what this spirit is doing? It's still attacking the most vulnerable. It is attacking our women, our children, and the vulnerable of our society. You know what I'm doing today? I'm coming against it. This is why God said, Saul kill the Amalekites? Because they've attacked the most vulnerable, the weak, the feeble, the elderly, the women, and the children. They didn't come at you like men ought to come and say, we don't agree with you, and confront man to man. I mean, you know, come on, let's fight like men. No, they wouldn't do it. This was why, right here, if you read this in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, you will find this little snippet of information that gives us more insight into why God said, by the word of Samuel, Saul, you destroy, utterly destroy every one of the Amalekites. He didn't. If you want to jump, and I'm going to jump real quickly. The next day after him meeting with the witch of Endor, Saul had leaned on his sword to take his own life instead of falling into the hands of the Philistines, and his life would not leave him. God kept him alive for one more reason. And he heard something laying on the battlefield on his own sword, and he couldn't look around. He heard something. He said, who goes there? And this guy says, I'm an Amalekite. Read it. It's in there. I'm an Amalekite. He said, would you please stand on me until I die, because I don't want to fall into the hands of the Philistines. The very thing that he was supposed to have destroyed, destroyed him because he didn't destroy it. An Amalekite took his life that day. You see, the lesson of the witch is this. God told Moses, before he ever got to the land of Canaan, he said, now, when you get there, I want you to possess the land, but I want you to utterly destroy the inhabitants of that land and suffer not a witch to live. Don't do it. He said, get rid of them. He said, the soothsayer, get rid of them. Don't let it be named among your the congregation that they're around you. Don't let it happen. Why? Because they are dealing with spiritual things that will destroy your connection with God. They have a form of godliness. Oh, you say, oh, there's no God in them. Oh, yes, there is. I'm not talking about our God. The God of this world has blinded their minds. They have a form of godliness, but they don't know the power of our God in the sense that we ought to know the power of our God. They know that God is real. The Bible says the devils believe in one God, and they tremble. That's what the scripture says. So why was it that God felt it so important to name this type of situation, of this type of individual, or this type of spirit, when he was telling them to possess the land of their promise? He wasn't saying, I'm going to destroy it. He said, you destroy it. He was telling Moses that he had to have enough God to identify who was of God and who wasn't of God. This gives us a little bit of better understanding as to why Joshua, when they crossed over Jordan River and he saw this man with a sword drawn, it helps us understand when Joshua just steps out there with boldness of God and he says, I want to know, are you with us or are you against us? You see, there are some times that we have to be able to confront these spirits, but you can't do it without having some spiritual boldness. And I'm not talking about spiritual nonsense. I'm talking about spiritual boldness. Are you with us are you against? He said, I'm as a captain of the Lord's host. He said, all right, you're with us. Let's go. Let's go fight. He had to have some understanding and discernment as to know why or who, if this word was going to be of truth or not. Let me tell you what happens when you have discernment of spirits. Let me tell you what happens. You can hear a phrase in someone's conversation, and you can immediately identify if that has a ring of truth or it has a ring of error. You don't have to call people liars. You just know what to take in and what to discard. You don't have to have a PhD in psychology. You do not. You just have to have discerning of spirits. You know what Jesus said? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. Saul, what are you doing at the witch's house? I can't get a word from God, so I just need a word. And he was told why he couldn't get a word from God. Because you did not get rid of that spirit that attacked the vulnerable of my people. I remember. Years later, I remember how they attacked the women, the children, and the feeble, the elderly. I remember. Saul, you didn't do. Do you know when Samuel goes to his house? Samuel goes to check up on Saul because God tells him to, and he's already told him what's happening. And he gets there. This is why I tell you this is not the first time that Saul come in contact with the spirit of witchcraft. This is the reason right here. He said, well, I've done all that you've commanded of me. And Samuel just stops in the driveway. What meaneth the lowing of the oxen? What's the bleating of the sheep? Oh, well, I just kept the fat ones of the flock just to make a sacrifice to God. And about that, he said, but I've done everything else. And about that time, Agag, the king, he started around the corner and he said, what means this? What's Agag, the king, doing? Here is the king of the Amalekites. Well, he was a king like me. We're just going to be buddies. Samuel looked at him and he said, because you have not done and executed the word of God, God has taken this kingdom from you and he's given it to your neighbor who is better than yourself. And this is where he identifies the spirit that he was dealing with. He said, for Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. Do you know what Paul wrote to us about that very thing in Galatians chapter 5? He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes through a long list of them, doesn't he? Adultery, fornication, variance, emulation, strife. And he throws in there, just all of a sudden throws in there with lasciviousness and ungodliness, witchcraft. Just throws it in. Just almost as an afterthought. Or just like all of a sudden, why was he bringing it up? Because he said, this is a work of the flesh. Do you know that the flesh is enmity with God and God is at enmity with the flesh? Did you realize that? That's why that we need to learn from the lesson of the witch right there. Every spirit that is not like you is not witchcraft. But I will tell you, witchcraft is real because it's a work of the flesh. Let's pray. God, we're grateful today for your word. We're grateful today for your people and your power. Help us, oh God, to have discernment in our spirits. Not the spirit of suspicion, God, but let us have the spirit of discernment so that we would be able to have discerning of spirits, to know whether they be of God or not. Because we live in troubling times, perilous times, and we are coming against the spirit that has attacked the most vulnerable of your people and the most vulnerable of its society. And we declare victory in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate your presence. Let's remember service in just a few more moments. And let's have some time of fellowship and get ready for service at 11. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap if you will.